This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. President Bush insists there can be no neutrals in the fight against terrorism, and now that the United States is at war in Iraq, special attention is focused on that nation's neighbors. Over the past several days, both Secretary of State Colin Powell and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld warned Iran and Syria against direct interference. Syria allegedly permitted the transit of military supplies to Iraq, including night vision goggles. Any further shipments, the Defense Secretary said, would be considered a hostile act. And Iran has allegedly trained and sponsored an Iraqi exile group that sent hundreds of its men back into Iraq. They will, according to the Secretary of Defense, be treated as enemy combatants. Iraq's other neighbors are, to a lesser or greater degree, American allies against Iraq. How are these actions playing out in the region? Will threatened governments comply with American requests, or will those demands reinforce anti-American feelings? And is anger building against governments that are either helping the United States openly, helping quietly, or, even if they're opposed, not doing very much about it? We'll speak with several regional experts, but first joining us from Baghdad is John Lee Anderson, a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. His letter from Baghdad appears weekly in The New Yorker, and it's good to have you back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Can you tell us what you've seen today?
Well, today has been there's a pattern developing, which is quite a bit of aerial bombardment. Some days it's more sporadic, and other days it's pretty intense. The last time we had a truly intense one was last Thursday. And over the weekend, we've seen nighttime bombing raids on quite a few of the communication facilities here in Baghdad. Overnight, there was another one. Basically, the telephones are out now in the city, and so are international calls. Those of us with sat phones, obviously, are able to communicate still. Today, there was a bombing raid this afternoon. I wasn't that far away on one of the palaces in the partially destroyed Republican Palace complex, which is just across the river from where I am in my hotel, where all the journalists are staying. There were two strikes on it. Other than that, it's a city that's preparing for a siege. The government is now stripped down to its essentials, that is, a security presence. If it was a security-driven regime before, it is most certainly that now. Foreigners, Westerners like myself, of whom there's probably a couple hundred left in the city, virtually all of us journalists, get more than a passing glance nowadays, and there is increasing pressure on us to go everywhere, including if we're going for a meal at one of the two remaining restaurants open, or in my case, for instance, this afternoon I went for a shave with a guide. I had to make sure that the people in the information ministry who've now moved into our hotel knew that I was going there. So it's a country, a city, Baghdad, which is tightening up. And preparing itself for what all of us expect will be a siege sooner or later.
In your article in this week's New Yorker titled Ill Winds, you talk about a phrase of really resignation, Alhamdulillah. Can you tell us what that means?
Yes, well, it's an Arabic phrase, which I understand it to mean essentially glory to God, but essentially means, you know, we are in God's hands. And you say this when you are expressing sorrow or regret. I found myself saying it, and also on other occasions. You can also say it when for instance, you're given a bounteous feast by someone. It's an expression of thankfulness, of commending yourself and whatever is before you to God, to Allah. But I found myself saying it quite a bit an observer here, someone witnessing increasing numbers of civilian bombing victims. And, you know, I found myself a couple of times this week having to stand at the bedside of children, for instance, that have been bombed, or men or women and their family members there. And in return for my questions, I feel naturally obliged to say something before I leave their presence. And there's a phrase which I can't translate literally, but It begins with Alhamdulillah, ala salam, which more or less means glory to God, peace be with you. And people seem very thankful at that. And that is a phrase being uttered a lot around Baghdad these days.
We are reading here about fighting approaching the ruins of ancient Babylon. And one of the people in whom you spoke and wrote about in this week's New Yorker described, it was, I think, during the sandstorm, the terrible sandstorm last week, described the sense of history that was literally on the wind there.
Well, that's right. We were sitting in an office, and there was this quite incredible sandstorm, which had turned the sky an orange glow, on top of which it was drizzling, and there was dust everywhere. And that morning, it had subsided somewhat, and there was a kind of phosphorescent white luminescence around us throughout the city. And we were sitting talking, and as we spoke, a cold gust of air came into the room, and he sniffed and said, "The turab, the sandstorm, the dust storm is coming back." And I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "You can smell it. Smell." And I sniffed, and there I too could smell the earth. Whereupon he went into a soliloquy about how, to him, every time he smelled that smell, he was reminded of Iraq's long history, which was essentially a history of warfare and killing, all the way back to Sumerian times, thousands of years. And so whenever he smelt the dust storm, he smelt death and dead bodies.
You also describe visiting the Al-Sha'ab district after the bombing there last week that killed so many civilians, and running into people who were interested in discovering that you were an American.
That's right. It's quite incredible. In Baghdad, there is still no overt hostility towards Westerners, and those who one approaches or one finds itself one in conversation with tend to be quite friendly and welcoming. It's disarming. I've never found this anywhere else in the world. It's certainly not a place where I happen to be a citizen of the country that's bombing them. Whatever their feelings about the regime, they are getting bombed, and I'm here with them. So I found myself on this street that had just been blasted by two bombs in which 15 or 16 people had died, and about 50 had been wounded. There was a human hand lying on the street. The other bodies had just been carried away. It was a very moving and graphic and gruesome scene, and there were young men all over, maybe a couple of hundred, moving around frenetically. And it's precisely the kind of crowd one might expect anti-Western, anti-American feelings to surge up at one's appearance. On the contrary, I found myself talking to a young man who was just standing kind of in a trance near this gruesome scene, and he asked me where I was from, and I said, "I'm from the United States," and he said, "Welcome." And we talked a bit, and another man approached, and he spoke some English and was very pleased to be trying it out. And he told me in broken English, Bush said this was going to be a clean war, but it's not. It's a dirty war. And he was saying this as a kind of factual statement, not as a judgmental statement to me. And he said, I said, "Yes, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I'm an American standing here. I am sorry." And he said, "No, no, not you. Not the American people. It's the government. We know that. I saw Michael Moore on television last night. He had seen the Oscar ceremonies." And it turned out to be a bookshop owner. One of his friends had just died. He was a mechanic working on a car. It had been carbonized. And we shook hands. He was friendly. He said he liked watching American movies, and that's how he'd learned English. I've had many such experiences like that in this town, and I have to say I hope it doesn't change. It's both sobering and moving to find so little hatred from a people that are being gradually killed in random ways in their city, which is being diminished by the hour.
John Lee Anderson is a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. His letter from Baghdad appears weekly in The New Yorker. Thanks very much for speaking with us again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
John Lee Anderson on the line with us from Baghdad. Joining us now from Kuwait City is NPR's Mike Schuster. And Mike, They're getting a look at where troops are moving and the progress of the war. The main story today appears to be an engagement between U.S. troops and the Republican Guards, finally a ground engagement. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it happened at a town called Hindiya, Neil, which is a few miles east of Karbala. Now, it's been said for the better part of a week that the advanced units of the 3rd Infantry Division have been near Karbala since at least the middle of last week, and that's about 60 miles from Baghdad. And they seem to have moved around Karbala and probed east up this road. And again, it's another town that has a bridge across the Euphrates River called Hindiya. And there, it seemed to have been occupied by the Republican Guard, at least a division of the Republican Guard, and there was a lot of fighting there. And it looked like the units of the 3rd Infantry Division actually took the town today. It's not clear that they've actually held it into the night, but they took the town today. They captured a number of Iraqi prisoners who were part of the Republican Guard. As best as I can understand it, they chased most of the irregulars, the Iraqi irregulars, the Ba'ath Party gunmen, out of the town.
More fighting outside of Najaf again today?
Yes, I think Najaf again has been the site of serious fighting. And Najaf is a problem for U.S. troops. They've circled the city. It's a fairly big city. They've circled it, but they haven't moved into it. And they may not, because there are a number of Shia holy sites in Najaf that are, in fact, off limits as targets. And the U.S. military would be loath to damage these holy sites. That means that there are a lot of Iraqi militias and irregulars inside Najaf that can continue to mount attacks at the U.S. troops that are ringing the city. And I think that that will go on until the U.S. military figures out how to deal with the interior of Najaf without destroying the holy sites.
We've also been hearing a lot about efforts to resupply the troops in the field. Some Marines at one point down to one ration per day. Have new shipments arrived in the front lines?
No question about that. I think since those reports surfaced at the end of last week, there's been a steady train of supplies moving north to replenish the food, the water, the fuel, and the ammunition that a lot of U.S. units need. There has also been established at least one, and I think probably more than one, air base much closer, much further north in Iraq. And so some of these supplies are now being flown either by helicopter or perhaps even by fixed-wing aircraft into one base near Nasiriyah called Talil. And I think that they've established another base out in the desert. And this way they can bring a large amount of supplies much further north and move it more quickly to the units that need it.
Mike, we just have about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you, we're going to talk most of the rest of this hour about the situation of Iraq's neighbors. And what about Kuwait? Kuwait City itself was hit by a missile just a couple of days ago. Is there any wavering in support there?
No, I don't think so. The Kuwaitis, of course, have a special relationship to the U.S. And a special feeling about Iraq because of the 1990 occupation and the 1991 war. I think there's a small amount of more Islamist hostility to the U.S. action, but I think of all the Arab countries in the region, Kuwait is probably the most solid behind the U.S. war.
Mike Schuster, thanks very much for joining us late in Kuwait City, as it was in Baghdad, of course, and we appreciate you staying up with us.
Good to talk to you, Neil.
NPR's Mike Schuster on the line with us from Kuwait City. Coming up next, we will talk about Iraq's neighbors and how they are dealing with war just across their border and the situation in which they find themselves. What do you think of the role of Iraq's neighbors? Allegations about involvement by Syria and perhaps by Iran as well. You can give us a call, 800-989-TALK, 800-989-8255. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And what about popular feeling about those governments that support the U.S. when much of their population does not? I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.